Right.
Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Resurrection Sunday. You notice I didn't say Easter. What is Easter, by the way? There you go. For us. Yeah. You know, by the way, as far as Bible studies, we can probably, not probably, but we should add and announce to the saints here and gather together here and to some of the saints that are close to the San Diego area, we have now a Bible study that's going on at the home of our dear sister Marian Manley. Yeah, thank God for her. It's two Sundays now that we've been holding the Bible studies there. Nathan is the one that started the first week. I did it this week, every Saturday morning, 9:30 to 11:30.
Right.
So we have we actually have a taller order there because you know how John, when he does Bible study, he reads like one verse, and he's pressed for time for that one verse, right? Well, you know, here we studied the entire chapter in 2 hours. So it's, that's why I told Marian, you know, it's almost impossible to really cover that in any meaningful way and do justice to the verses. But there's a purpose for that. So I thank her and her husband, Chuck. We just pray for her husband because he is not totally on board with that yet. But he is actually supporting her in, you know, in preparation for the snacks and stuff like that. So she's just not there during the Bible study. Okay. Anyway, when Lori called us yesterday, late in the afternoon, you know, what can you do? You can't say no, right? Preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. So, well, the thing with John is that you can be sure that if he's not here, he is sick. Something is really wrong if he's not, you know, if he's not here. So when Nathan said he's not here, you know, I was reminded of that verse, you know, and when our Lord Jesus Christ wrote, he's not here, he is risen. Well, you know, John is not risen here for that's for sure, but he's not here. But anyway, the work of the Lord continues regardless, right? So, anyway, since it's the whole world pretty much practically celebrates this Easter, why don't we talk about the real resurrection? The Resurrection Sunday, that particular Sunday 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years ago. You know how it is? The resurrection is just one of those events that was prophesied here. In this chart right here. God, if you notice, we've been looking at this chart almost every Sunday, right? God has a twofold purpose. In Genesis 1, he created the heaven and the earth. Then he called this guy here Abraham and started the nation of Israel through him. So you have Israel and the nations, or the Gentiles. In Moses' time, God gave the law. And he gave grace, the great dispensation of the grace of God to Paul. So you have law and grace, Israel and the nations, heaven and earth. You have the prophecy and the mystery. And prophecy again here. So there's always this twofold purpose as far as the eternal purpose of God. And we learn, as we rightly divide the word of truth, that God had things prophesied and things that was a mystery until it was revealed eventually to the Apostle Paul. We can't get away from that. I don't care what kind of Bible study you do. It could be Corinthians, it could be Genesis, it could be Jeremiah. You will always go back to this if you rightly divide the word of truth. So, I read it once, you know, as far as how do you do Bible interpretation? How do you interpret the Bible when you do Bible study? I came across this, I had this phrase, I call it guide, actually, from a gentleman called, his name is Dr. David Cooper. He was the founder of the Biblical Research Society. And he says this. He calls it the golden rule of interpretation, by the way. And it says, it's pretty neat. It says, when the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. Therefore, take every word at its primary, ordinary, usually literal meaning, unless the facts of the immediate context, studied in the light of related passages and axiomatic. Don't get scared with that word. Axiomatic is just simply means it's accepted, it's obvious, you know, it's clear, axiomatic, and fundamental truths indicate clearly otherwise. So in other words, when you come across the Bible and it seems not that clear to you, you can always go to other verses that explains that. We can always compare spiritual things with the spiritual, right? The verses explain each other. Because if you're going to study the Bible and approach it like, you know, everything is a metaphor, a simile, you know, or a figure of speech, then we are doing a disservice. You're going to be frustrated when you study the Bible and take it like, you know, and like, give you for example, when Abraham was told by God to walk on that land. He says, walk back and forth on that land that I promised you. I can guarantee you that that land is literal land. That is not a spiritual land. It is an actual land that exists on this planet Earth. But people take that as if that is in the ether. No. So how we approach that is to approach it as literal, historical, grammatical. So we're going to take a look, since our topic today is resurrection, we're going to take a look and find out exactly from Matthew through John, find out exactly what the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ meant, first of all, to the 12 apostles, to the 12 disciples. Maybe that's not technically correct, right? The resurrection, by that time, it's only 11, by the way, right? 11 disciples, because Judas was dead at that time, before that time. So turn your book, your Bible, to Luke 24. Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. And it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were, note that word, afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful question? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? He told them. He told them this. And yet they were still afraid, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful man and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Now they remember. They remembered his words. And as a reference to that, let's look at Luke 18. But remember that they were afraid, right? They were afraid. So turn your Bible to Luke 18. A couple of chapters to the left. verses 31 to 34. And here it says, "Then he took unto him the 12, and he said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he rise again. She shall rise again." This is Jesus speaking. And what the 34 says? "And they understood none of his things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things that were so that were spoken." That's a threefold emphasis over there, that one verse. The first part is, "And they understood none of these things." Second, "This saying was hid from them." The third, "Neither knew they the things which were spoken." They don't have any idea. By the way, when the women, it was the women that first went to the sepulchre early in the morning. Right? It was the women. But you know, back in those days, the testimony, the witness of women are not really taken that seriously, I guess. Right? So let's go back to 24. 24, verse 10 and 11. "It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the disciples." They told the disciples about this the tomb that was empty. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." They didn't have that much high regard for the testimony of women at that particular time. They were not believed. Because they were afraid. If they did not believe the Lord Jesus Christ while he was still living on the earth, right? They did not believe him. We read the verses. That's why they were afraid. They were confused. So that's in Luke. Let's go to Mark. Mark 16. Mark 16, verses 4 through 8. And it says, "And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." That's one thing that you have to believe, that if Jesus Christ was not there, if his body was not there, he could not have rolled away the stone. It's not humanly possible. They were very great. "And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And said, and he said unto them, Be not affrighted." Which means afraid. "So you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him." So he's not there. He's not there. "But go your way," says, "tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." He told them that. He's going to go to the Galilee. They did not believe in that. "And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled." Again, they were afraid and were amazed. "Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." This is what resurrection looked like to them, to the disciples, to the early followers of the Lord Jesus. They failed to appreciate what the significance of the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 6 through 10. It says, "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Meet him there. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. Now they have that great joy, right? And did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Notice that Jesus did not stop them from worshipping him, right? I mean, Jesus did not stop the disciples, the people from worshipping him, meaning that he is God the Son. He is the reincarnation of God himself. Right. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. For you know, see, they're afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Again, the attitude of the people at the time is they could not have appreciated the significance of the resurrection because they did not believe it in the first place. That's why they are afraid. See, the attitude is a result of the thinking that we have. What is in our mind is manifested by our behavior. It could not have been otherwise, right? They should have understood that. They should have understood that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but they did not, though they later did. They later did. I got a question for you. Where do you and I today get our understanding of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and its meaning? The Pauline epistles and the epistles of Paul. Romans through Philemon. It was not until Paul that the significance, the meaning, and the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the cross, Him, Christ crucified, was deftly explained. Only one man did that, and that is the Apostle Paul. Because it was revealed to him. Uniquely to him, it was revealed to him. You know, we do not get it from any other source. We don't get it from the 12. We don't get it from these people here. We don't get it from the media. We don't get it from religion itself. Because there are so many, you know, I was reminded again, you know, we're doing Bible study yesterday, and we were talking about the difference between the wisdom of men, the wisdom of the world, in Corinthians 1 and 2. The wisdom of men and the wisdom of the world against the wisdom of God. You see, simply the wisdom of God is this. The preaching of the cross of Him, Christ crucified. But see, the thing is, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was here on earth, that's why you have to rightly divide the word of truth, right? 2 Timothy 2:15. The Lord Himself, when He was on this earth, He taught them the same gospel that John the Baptist taught His disciples. You know, after the 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew, then came along John the Baptist preaching the kingdom of God. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Prepare ye the way and all that. Right? So go to Matthew chapter 4 and see. Because the Lord Jesus Christ certainly did not preach the gospel of the grace of God in Matthew. Chapter 4, verse 17. And it says, from that time, what time? From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is the same gospel that John the Baptist preached. The kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, is at hand. Turn your Bible to 10:7. Same book. Matthew 10:7. It says, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'll read 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. See, these are the times. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's there. It's right there in their land. That's why all this healing, the miracles, you know, starting from the turning the water into wine, the healing, the casting out of demons. By the way, those two are the two eminent events that Jesus did while he was on this earth. Casting out devils or demons and healing the sick, right? The Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, they did not teach the gospel of the grace of God. It's definitely different. It was, again, like I said, it's uniquely entrusted and revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to the Apostle Paul in Acts 9. That's why we call ourselves mid-Acts dispensationalists, right? It's not a label. It's just what we believe, that the church, the body of Christ, started right here, starting in Acts 9 when the Lord Jesus Christ personally came down from heaven, not to judge, but to raise an apostle, to raise Saul, and who became later into Paul. And to him was revealed the gospel of the grace, the revelation of the mystery. The word mystery itself, when Paul wrote that, you know, when you write something mystery, it's so obvious and it's so logical that it could not have existed before Paul wrote that there. You cannot write something that is not there. You cannot write something that is not true. So when he wrote Revelation of the Mystery, obviously he had some idea what this mystery was. What this mystery is. That's why we read the mystery. That's why we read when Paul says the unsearchable riches of Christ. By the way, it's no longer unsearchable, right? It was unsearchable then. But it's no longer unsearchable now because we have the complete book. We have the complete canon of the Scripture. And like Nathan said this morning, you know, about 1 Corinthians 15, you know, what happens if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead? Boy, we got a big problem if Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead. Why don't we go there? Let's go there real quick. Because that is one of the most foremost chapters when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You cannot afford. We cannot afford. You know, some people still believe that Jesus Christ is just a fairy tale, you know. He's not a real person, that he did not act. And if he is, he did not actually rise from the dead and all that, right? Well, anyway, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This, by the way, this is what we believe. This should be our attitude as saints of the Most High God in this dispensation of grace. This should be what we believe. Should we believe? It says, moreover, brethren, I'm starting from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. This is where we stand. By which also ye are saved. Past tense. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, not Peter, not John, not James, or anybody else, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, not according to hearsay or according to human philosophy or human viewpoint, right? And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There is a history. You can read that. There's history when it says according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of the Cephas and that of the 12. And then I'll jump down to 9. To 8. And last of all, he was seen of me, meaning Paul, also as one born out of due time. I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Paul is not the 13th apostle. He is separate. His apostolic ministry is separated. Is separate from the 12. You cannot mix law and grace. Nathan explained that to us this morning, right? You can't mix law and grace. It's possible. But what's going to be the result?
Confusion.
You're going to be disappointed with yourself. Oh my God. I'm speaking from experience, believe me. Trying to mix law and grace. It is possible that you can, under grace, still live under the law. You can. But all you have to do is just believe what the Word says. We are dead to sin and alive unto God. Sin is not our boss anymore. We don't have to follow it. We can if we do. Make that decision. I hope you don't. You don't have to follow sin anymore. That's how you walk in the Spirit, filling your mind, the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, you cannot obtain the mind of Christ by transcendental meditations. They call them TMs. You know, you can't find the mind of Christ and go somewhere finding yourself. You know, go search yourself. Go search and find yourself. You know, the world will tell you that. Go up in the mountains close to the bay or sea and smell the breeze and then find yourself. You can't. There's only one way. There's only one source that you can find yourself. It's only through this book, Romans through Philemon. Why does God love us so much regardless of what our behavior is as saints? By the way, we are still saints, right? The Corinthians were saints. You know, let's go there. Oh my gosh. 1 Corinthians 1. I'm just going to go straight to the verse. Verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Well, I'm telling you, these saints, the so-called saints, the Corinthian saints, they were allowing people, members of the body of Christ, to fornicate and live with the wife of his father, his father's wife. They were suing each other, taking each other to court among the unbelievers. They were saints. They're taking each other to court among the unbelievers. They were so confused about speaking of tongues, the sign gifts. They have problems with remarriage and divorce in chapter 7. And so many things. You know, about the Lord's Supper. Should they perform the Lord's Supper and all that? The communion. And when they hold communion, some people go home hungry. And some people just eat there and get drunk. Literally. And yet, Paul still calls them saints. See, you don't lose that identity once you are in Christ. Romans 8, right? You cannot, nobody can, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Please remember that. It does not, the truth of that verse does not depend on your behavior. The truth of that verse does not depend how high, you know, the high grace that you get, the merits that you get in this life. No, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Not even life itself. Not even death itself. You know, it's easy to understand, you know, death, you know, some people, because people are naturally afraid of death. But Paul even includes the word life there. What does he mean by that? Not life nor death. What does it mean life? You know what? There are people in this world that are really afraid of living, continue on living, because they are enslaved by this mentality, the standards of the world, the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world kills. The Word of God gives you life. You cannot live this life. You will be, You will be afraid to death to live this life if you are not in Christ. Right? By the way, so we have this relationship between Gentiles and the Jews. We know that under the law, during this period, you have this relationship. Israel is above the Gentiles. For any Gentile, if you lived in this period here, for you to get the blessing, you have to go through the house of Israel, right? To get the blessing. You will search in vain in the Scripture to find any Gentile that lived in this area here that got the blessing of God, the blessings of God, apart from the nation of Israel. Nobody, there's no Gentile that you can name that were blessed by God, whether it's been healing or they were saved from the killing. You know, Rahab, she's a Gentile. She was saved. But who saved them? Who saved her and her household? It's through the nation of Israel, right? Caleb and Joshua. Ruth. Can you imagine Ruth? She's really a Gentile, right? Naaman. The Bible even calls him Naaman the Syrian. He was healed of that leprosy. Was it leprosy? I forgot that he was some leprosy. He got healed. He was a Gentile. But only through Elisha, which is a Jew. So if you're a Gentile in this period here, you're not going to get the blessing. For you to get to God, you have to go through the house of Israel, because that's the program of God. It was promised to Abraham that through the nation of Israel, the blessings will go throughout the nations. Right? But then again, Jesus Christ happened as far as He's coming down, His incarnation to the flesh, right? The human incarnation. John the Baptist. Here, Matthew to John, it gives you the earthly ministry of Christ. Like I said, we always hear that it's the gospel of the kingdom. It's different from the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of circumcision, it can't be both. The gospel of circumcision and the gospel of uncircumcision, Galatians 2, right? They're two distinct programs. You cannot mix them. Jesus here is the prophet of the circumcision. He himself went through the circumcision. He was water baptized by John. That was the program then. You can ask yourself, what is there to be cleansed? As far as water baptism is a program for Israel, for cleansing. What is there to clean as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is? That's why John refused to baptize him at the first, right? But Jesus told him, suffer it to be so. For this is the will of God. Right? Now the diminishing of Israel happened where? What was the last, they call it the straw that broke the camel's back? The stoning of Stephen, right here. The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's why it says, I just forgot where that verse is, but you cannot commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit and be forgiven. It's unforgivable. The unforgivable sin. You cannot, I cannot, we cannot commit the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. There's no way that you can commit that because of the grace of God. The only reason the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that's why they call it unforgivable, is because they were rejected the Father. Right here. They rejected the Father. They rejected the Son. What's there left? What's left? The Holy Spirit. And they committed that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit when they stoned Stephen, trying to explain to them how God, you know, there was a long verse in chapter 7 of Acts. He was stoned to death. He saw the Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God, ready to judge. He was sitting and then he was standing, ready to judge. So the fall of Israel occurred. But who was the instigator? Of the stoning of Stephen. It was Saul himself. The man, the persecutor of the Christian, the blasphemer. He says, "For I am a blasphemer. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." He was the one that authorized the stoning of Stephen. But that same act, later in Acts 9, that's when Christ called Paul. You should be glad that he did. We should be joyful. We should be jumping with joy that Jesus Christ did that. Anyway, that's a plan. That was a plan here, right? Even before the foundation, since the foundation of the world, even before the world began, Romans 6, 25-26, Paul says. So we are here. The attitude of the saints today, under the dispensation of grace, as far as the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, should be gratefulness and thankfulness and joy. I didn't read to you chapter 15, right? Let's go to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. You see, you always have to deal with time. I think I stopped by 9. Let's go to 10. It says, 15:10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all." That's not boasting, friends. That's true. "But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I," he says. "Yet not I, but Christ. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." It's only by the grace of God. If it's only by the grace of God that Paul can say that, "Yet not I, but the grace of God," or in Galatians 2:20, "Yet not I, but Christ, which liveth in me." That should be our attitude when it comes to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's really, "Yet not I," but if you just follow those four words, "Yet not I, but Christ," and you will go a long way in your walk of faith. You will go a long way in studying His Word, rightly divided, edifying yourself, edifying your loved ones, and in your helping edify the local assembly, wherever that local assembly may be. You see, it's not the person. I'm telling you, Pastor John, I don't care what anybody says. Pastor John is probably one of the most prolific and greatest preachers of the grace, of the gospel of the grace of God we have today in this present age. Right? But even he can't be here all the time. It's not here. Because what we are learning, it's not the words of Pastor John. What we are learning is the word that is written in the page itself. This book is eternal. We are all going to be, you know, if rapture happens, that's good. But if the rapture does not happen, our gathering together does not happen today or tomorrow, this book will stay here. Heaven and earth will pass away, but a jot or a tittle of this book will not pass away. And we will study this book even when we're in the heavenly places. So, if you still have that fleshy tendency, you know, if you get bored, you go, you know, some people they readily fall asleep. Oh, I might as well read the Bible so I can fall asleep faster. You know. I've had that attitude. Believe me, I'm telling you the truth. You know, there was a time in my life. The reason I want to fall asleep faster. You read the Bible. You know, when you lay in bed, you'll fall asleep. That's why you don't read the Bible lying down. You got to sit up at least. Sit up. You can stand up too. You know. But you know how the flesh loves itself. You know, when you read the Word of God, you know, if you're not into it, if you're not the, by the way, the Paul calls it perfect saints, not sinless perfection. By the way, when he calls us perfect, it just means that we are readily accepted, accepting of the Word of truth. He calls it the spiritual man. That's the perfect that he's talking about. So in this dispensation of grace today, Gentiles and Jews, by the way, here you have Jews above the Gentiles, but the fall of Israel suddenly, and with the dispensation of grace here, the Gentiles and Jews are here on the same level playing field. There's no more Jews or Gentiles, it says that, right? First Corinthians 1:24. We're not going to go there. We've gone there when he taught that. 1 Corinthians 1:24, Galatians 3:27-28. You can do that on your extra time, but it's talking about there's no more Jews. Jews and Gentiles. There's no more barbarians and Scythians. You know the Scythians? You know, barbarians. I've heard Pastor John call you a barbarian. That's not your son with long hair and all that. You know, that's not the barbarian that's being referred to there, right? Barbarian means that they're kind of crude in language when they call it barbarians. Or people that don't speak Greek. That's why, you know, if you don't speak Greek at that time, you are barbarian. Because the Greek is the finesse culture, so to speak, right? So you have this distinction that we're broken down. You have the economic distinction, no bond or free, right? Economic distinction, male or female, what is that? Gender distinction, Jew or Gentile, that's national distinction, poor, rich and poor, economic distinction. Those are gone. The cross of Christ erased all that difference. Because of this cross right here. That distinction between Jew and Gentile was erased. Oh, it's going to come back here. It's going to come back here. But after we are no longer in the picture here, because we're going to be here in our gathering together. I was telling Marion yesterday during the Bible study, you know how as families we have these special occasions that we plan. You know, we take the time to plan them because they are so special to us. Whether it's birthday of a child, an anniversary, a wedding anniversary, or we're going on a family vacation, or if one of your children is graduating from college. Right? Things like that. I have a short side on that. By the way, I have my daughter Cheryl here today. She took the time to be here. She's taking nursing, and we have a kind of a popular phrase in the house, you know. Why don't we go there and do the special things that we do? And she will automatically say, well, when I become a nurse. So that's always the, you know, let's go to Disneyland. No, we can't. When I become a nurse, you know, we'll go there. Well, let's go to the Olympics in Brazil. No, we can't. When I become a nurse. You know, we have these special occasions that we wait for, or we long for, we look forward to, right? In our families, you know. And yet, I will close with this. there is only one event that you finally would look forward to in your life as a saint of the Most High God. And that is to be gathered together along the saints, dead and alive. All the dead saints and alive saints will meet here. We will not even beat the dead saints to be here. When we get there, they're already there. If the rapture happens today, all the dead saints in the past periods will be there already. In the blink of an eye, they will be there. That is the event that you and I should be looking forward to, only because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right there. All that things are all made possible because of that one single event. If it did not happen, Paul says, then we are found to be false witnesses. And your faith is still in vain. We don't have nothing. We have nothing to look forward to if resurrection did not happen. So let's be joyful and glad that, like Nathan says, we can always celebrate resurrection, not only once a year. Every moment, every waking minute of our lives, we can celebrate that truth that Jesus Christ died, went to the cross, died, was buried, and rose again. Because of me. Because of you. Amen. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the significant truth of this particular event when you raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, O Lord. Because that single event gave us hope. And that remains our hope of glory, that one day we will be gathered together in your name, the saints of the Most High God. May we learn, as we are still in the flesh, learn to persevere and learn to rightly divide your word of truth and be edified by it. And may we learn to have this hunger to share this word of truth with the people that we meet in every phase of our lives. Bless this local assembly, O Lord. And we want to lift up to you, John, Pastor John, as he, since he's still in the flesh, we go through these infirmities. But infirmities are not all, Lord. We know that your truth, that you are the great God and Savior. So as we go our separate ways today, may we learn. And as we learn how to live our lives in accordance with your will, that we will remember this one particular event, that you resurrected, that you were raised, and that is good enough for us. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Amen. Did I turn it on?
I don't know.
Was it on?
Yes.
Oh, good.